Well, good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. I am your host, Preston McElyea, here coming at you live from, well, I guess I'm not coming at you live today. I'm actually recording today, but from the GospelRadioNetwork.org studio at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. Last week, I had a guest with me, and I thought, well, let's not ruin a good thing. So I got another guest to join me today. And guest, why don't you introduce yourself to us?
Well, good morning, listeners. This is David Sudoff. I'm currently the preacher at the Calvin Church of Christ, located in Calvin, Tennessee. But I'm also the director of TGRN. So I'm happy and blessed to take part of any opportunity that I have to have fellowship with sound brethren and to spread God's message.
Well, David, I'm thankful that you were able to join me this morning. It was really a very quick, short notice situation. David and I were actually discussing something. We've got a gospel meeting coming up here at our congregation in Mount Vernon with Brother Don Blackwell from May 1st through the 4th. And so David's been working to get an alternate stream set up so that if you're not in our area, you can at least tune in and listen to those lessons live on TGRN. So David was walking me through the steps of how we're going to get that done. And while we were talking, we were discussing what our days looked like. And David told me he had his sermons ready for Sunday, which in my mind meant he had time to record a program with me. So I'm thankful, David, for you joining me today.
No rest for the weary, huh?
That's right. That's right. And I've got to give you the same treatment that I gave our brother Scott Dykowski last week. It was a similar situation. So when he joined me, he just quickly read over the section we were going to cover and turned out to be a really good program. And so we'll do like we did last week for all of you listeners. And David and I are just going to kind of talk about the text. And so we'll keep moving through like we've been. And of course, last week we finished up 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I've really enjoyed going through and really breaking it down and just being able to have this discussion. And I always enjoy whenever we're able to talk about the Bible, and especially when I can have somebody else on here to help with that interaction, and hopefully you're enjoying it as much as I am. But today we'll be starting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And really, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 begins, what we have is Paul is discussing the work that he did. Not just the work that Paul did, but also Silvanus and Timothy. Of course, they were writing this letter, sending it to the brethren along with Paul, if we go back into chapter 1 and verse 1. But the first thing we're going to notice, at least as it relates to Paul's work with the brethren in Thessalonica, we'll look in verses 1 through 3. And we'll see how it is that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were convicted in their work. David, if you would, if you could go ahead and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 for us.
Sure, of course. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanliness, nor was it in deceit.
All right, thank you for reading those verses for us. And so then, as we typically do, or at least as we're trying to do, go back and just look through kind of verse by verse and really just discuss what it is that Paul was writing and what he was trying to relay in the information by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. First of all, to those in Thessalonica, but also what we can learn and what we can take from it today. So going back into verse 1, really the first thing at least that I notice in it is that they recognize that their work was not useless. Again, when we look at that verse, Paul said, you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Now, David, I'm by no means a Greek scholar, and I don't know if you would profess to be a Greek scholar or not, but that word, when we look at you yourselves know, if I'm understanding that word correctly, it's not the simple mental knowledge that one would have. So it's not just the fact that these brethren in Thessalonica had an understanding of what was being done, but it was something that they could actually see. Brother Kevin Rhodes, when he would teach us at the Brown Trail School of Preaching, when he would talk about this particular word for knowledge, he always emphasized that there was an element of perception involved in it. And so, you know, if we think about that, if we're going to perceive something, then we're actually going to have to, in some way with our senses, be able to see it or to hear it, be able to feel it, be able to have a good understanding and a true knowledge, an intimate knowledge, if you will, of what was being done. Do you have anything to add on that?
Well, I just find it fascinating how he, you know, what led up to this. Again, not taking too much time, but looking back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you know, Paul, you find those key words, making mention of you, remembering, knowing, and he's connecting his sincerity to the work that he's doing. And he tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he reminds them that if you're laboring for the Lord, it's never in vain.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you may not perceive the fruit from that, but God sees it.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we recognize in this is that Paul is clearly pointing out and emphasizing that the purpose for which they came to Thessalonica was accomplished. We talked about Acts chapter 17. For those of you who've been following along with us through our study in 1 Thessalonians, of course, Acts chapter 17 being the background for all that's taking place here. And it was there that Paul would, and Silas or Silvanus and Timothy would be in the synagogue for those 3 weeks preaching the gospel. And along in those 3 weeks, well, that's where this congregation was established, if you will. It's where they first heard the gospel and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so clearly the seed was planted, the seed was watered, and God truly gave the increase in the situation here. But there were still those in Thessalonica who did not obey the gospel. And sometimes we can find ourselves getting caught up on those who did not obey. We can focus so much on those who reject the word of God. And it would have been easy, I'm sure, for Paul or Silvanus or Timothy or anyone else in Thessalonica to simply focus on that envious mob of Jews that would drive Paul out of town. That would have been the easy thing to do. But Paul here shows that the work in Thessalonica was a success. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, currently no. I'm eager to get into some other aspects and some other parts of this wonderful text.
All right, well, let's keep moving along then, and let's look on in verse 2. Because in verse 2, what we find is that Paul recognizes that the work was not easy. And that's something for any Christian to understand. Being a Christian is not an easy thing. And if Christianity is easy, then maybe we need to reevaluate what it is we're doing and how much work we're actually putting into it. Again, if we look in verse 2 of our text, Paul says, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." First of all, just to get into Thessalonica was no cakewalk. There was nothing easy about this. When Paul says the idea that they were had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, we can go back in the book of Acts and see exactly what Paul was talking about. David, if you're there in Acts chapter 16,
verse 16,
if you kind of want to go over that for us and help us get that picture in our mind of that suffering and the spiteful treatment they received.
Yeah. Let me get down to verse 16. Okay, Acts 16, starting in verse 16. "Now it happened as he went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days.
Right. And so in all of that taking place, Paul would kind of upset some people. The truth can upset people at times. And here there were some individuals that were going to be upset because their livelihood was basically going to be removed from them.
Verse 19.
So in the, right. Yeah. And so again, the master saw the hope of profit was gone. They seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And ultimately what happens is that they are beaten, verse 23, and they are imprisoned. And so being in Philippi was not an easy thing. It was a fun thing that was taking place. I apologize for that if you heard my phone going off. I had a phone call coming in. But we're looking in Acts 16 with the what was happening in Philippi. And Paul talked about that to the brethren in Thessalonica. And Paul said that they knew what had happened. It's possible when we look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, there in verse 2, when Paul says, "As you know," it's possible Paul was just talking about the treatment that took place in Thessalonica. But based on the situation, I firmly believe that Paul was also saying they knew what had happened in Philippi, that Paul very likely would have told these brethren about what took place. And this was not an uncommon thing for Paul. Paul very often faced difficulty as he preached God's word. And certainly today, as we preach and as we teach God's word, we're going to run into some roadblocks along the way. Now, David, I don't know about you, but as far as me personally, I've never been in a situation where I've been imprisoned for trying to teach God's word.
Not yet.
I certainly hopefully. Hopefully we don't reach that point, but it's certainly a possibility. But, you know, we have faced different roadblocks along the way. Have had the police or someone threatened to call the police on me for trying to door knock. In different situations and things like that, but nothing to this extent that Paul had endured for the cause of Christ. And so then as we consider it and we keep looking here in verse 2, well, Paul says that even though it wasn't an easy thing, Paul found the strength to be able to do what needed to be done. He said, but we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. The idea there, if I understand it, of being bold is the fact that they were courageous. They weren't afraid to stand up. They weren't afraid to speak up. Now, at times, that type of fear characterizes us. Sometimes we're afraid of the people who might be there in the pew on a particular a Sunday morning or evening or a Wednesday night. Sometimes we might be afraid of who it is that's listening to our radio program. And so maybe we kind of hold back a little bit and we don't necessarily tell the whole truth because, again, we're afraid. But David, if you remember in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, if I remember correctly there, Paul, in instructing Timothy and trying to help him become a better minister for God, he emphasized to Timothy that God has not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when we channel that correctly, well, we can be like Paul and we can find the courage. We can have that boldness in the right location. Because if we look back in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2, where is it that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy found their courage?
Has to be the gospel of God.
Absolutely. And, you know, David, you've been preaching for a little bit now. How important is having that courage, that boldness in God and in the gospel that he has given to us?
I can't say it any better than what Paul did. Woe is me if I do not preach the whole counsel of God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That we got to make sure that we're channeling that courage, that we're finding it in the right place, because if we're trying to do it all based on our own strength, well, we're just men. And as men, we're weak. Doesn't matter how much weight we can lift. It doesn't matter if we're a professional bodybuilder. It does not matter how much muscle we have. We're weak. And until we recognize and accept that fact, well, we're not going to make it very far, because truly the only place we can find the courage, the boldness, the strength that we need is going to be in our God. And it's interesting as well, in just thinking about Paul as he's writing this. Let's look back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because Paul evidently was not the best speaker. He wasn't the best preacher out there, evidently, just based on his delivery. David, if you have it, could you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1?
And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God.
And then, of course, when you keep reading through there, Paul emphasizes the fact that what was most important was making sure that Christ Jesus is preached. That's what Paul was trying to demonstrate. But Paul, again, saying there, I didn't come with excellence of speech or of wisdom. I wasn't the best speaker that you could have heard. I wasn't the most well-polished and the most well-organized, but clearly Paul was a bold man, because Paul found courage in God to preach the gospel truth. And that can be encouraging to us today. David, how can we find encouragement in recognizing that Paul maybe wasn't the best speaker out there, yet he still was a powerful preacher of God's word?
I mean, we can all relate to that. You know, we may not be the greatest preacher, the greatest Bible student, but if you're laboring for God, if souls are your primary focus, what more can you ask for?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, sometimes we can get caught up in ourselves, can we not? That we start to think about, I'm not qualified. I've not been to school. I've not done the study that other preachers have. And I don't know enough. Or maybe we find ourselves in a situation where we feel like Moses, right? Where we feel like our tongue just doesn't work like we want it to. And sometimes we need God to ask us, well, who made that tongue for you? And we need to be able to recognize that God has prepared us for what needs to be done. And while it may not always be an easy task, well, God has prepared us for it, and we can do the work that needs to be done. Even in the case of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they were able to be bold and have courage. They were able to speak the gospel of God, even in much conflict. Now, we already talked a little bit about the situation in Philippi and how there was the imprisonment that took place there. But if we think back to Acts chapter 17, and we've already discussed it in previous programs as we've been going through the book, but it's always important for us to remember the specific background for Thessalonica. David, do you remember the specific conflict that took place there in Thessalonica? Going back to Acts 17,
I may be losing you. Sorry.
A little bit of the good.
Well, we know that as they were preaching the gospel and they were having fellowship with one another, that they were in a brother's house by the name of Jason. And a unruly mob did not like them in their town. And so Paul, unfortunately, had to flee for his life from the home of Jason.
And as we continue looking through, that's not what Paul wanted to do. It is what Paul needed. And so we see conflict taking place there. But again, minister is not easy. Preaching is not always easy. Yet, certainly rewarding. It's wonderful when people respond to the gospel, but sometimes people want to push back a little bit. Thankfully, we don't necessarily it's the same to experience yet through it all, Sylvanus and Timothy were bold. They were courageous God, and again, the conviction that they had. Move then in three. What we see is the work that was done in Michael was pure. Three says, sort did not come from cleanness, nor was it in deceit. Timothy was doing this for the Thessalonians. It was for exhortation. Now, when we talk about exhortation, what is it talking about? Well, have some issues here. Hopefully, as we keep, it'll pick up on it. But that idea of expectation is the idea of encouragement. There's encouragement involved in it. And so, to be an encouraging thing. Back here. Let's see if I can do something real quick.
All right, so I think we've kind of got our technical difficulties hopefully worked out now. And David, we were there in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. Not sure how much you were able to hear on your end there. But we were talking about that idea that what was done was that which was pure, that the work being done didn't have any sort of an ulterior motive, but it was a pure motive in teaching the gospel to them. And we were looking specifically at that idea that the work that was done was one that benefited the Thessalonians. The first part of that verse, Paul said, for our exhortation. Well, the exhortation was coming from preaching the gospel. And an exhortation is something that is encouraging. But it was more than simply just an exhortation and an encouragement in preaching the gospel. But, you know, David, we've already discussed that this was something that as Paul, Sylvanus, and Timothy were there, they were able to see. They were able to experience their ministry firsthand. So there also was encouragement received then, at least in my understanding, of being able to see the faithful example of Paul, Sylvanus, and Timothy, that the genuine care that and concern they had was something that would help motivate them to be more faithful. Were you about to say something, brother?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, when you try to do good, when you're trying to spread God's message, there will always be naysayers.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul opens up almost very similar to the Corinthian church wanting to defend his message. And it's not really his message, it's Christ's message, but wanting to defend himself as a speaker, reminding them that I'm not coming to you with persuasive words or with any kind of deceit or alternative motive.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, again, what Paul continues then in our verse in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, that they didn't come from error or uncleanness. They didn't do these things in deceit. They weren't trying to trick the brethren into following after them so that they might receive something in return. You know, and it's an unfortunate truth, but there are certain teachers and preachers today at times who will preach the Bible. Sometimes they might preach false doctrine, but at other times even they might be preaching the truth. And certainly the truth is being taught at those times, but unfortunately there are impure motives that can motivate someone to do that, that they're looking for something in return. They're either going to preach or teach a certain way so that they can get their paycheck, or at times, unfortunately, there are other sinful things that are involved in that. And again, it's unfortunate, but it is a reality that's still faced today.
Well, something that I find fascinating is the word exhortation basically means his appeal. And the, you know, you never want a preacher preaching his opinion, preaching his own desires, unless his desires are in sync with God's. And so Paul is letting them know that my advice, my desire for you is from God.
And there was a big reason that Paul made sure that that was what it was he was teaching, that he wasn't teaching his own opinions, he wasn't teaching his own thoughts, but that he would be teaching the words of God. Because when we keep looking in verses 4 through 6, we find what that proper motivation in the work was. David, if you could read verses 4 through 6 for us.
But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, neither from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ.
So because of the convictions that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy had, well, they labored for the right reasons. And again, adding on to what you were just talking about with that exhortation and the appeal of truly preaching God's word. The reason they were going to preach God's word and not their own opinion, their own thoughts, is because according to verse 4, they knew exactly who they were working for. They knew that they weren't doing these things for themselves, that there is a greater purpose to preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ Jesus. And Paul says the first part of verse 4 that they had been proven in the work. The idea there that we have been approved by God. It's interesting, David, when we look at that idea of being approved. Because if I'm understanding that word correctly, it's actually the idea of a test. We look in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, and Paul would say to test all things. It's coming from the same word there. And so to be approved by God, what then is the implication of that? That they had been tested by God.
And approved.
Absolutely. They were tested and they passed.
And what I find fascinating is when Paul was writing to the Galatian church and he's wanting them to understand his message and his motives, he asks them, am I now seeking, you know, to please men or am I seeking to please God?
Mm-hmm. And that's the key that we need to understand, that the work we do, we're not looking for the approval of any particular man. We're not seeking to be approved by any group or any council of men. The approval that we need is the approval from God, because that's all that really matters. And because they had been approved by God, well, Paul says they were approved to be entrusted with the gospel. David, if I were to tell you that I trust you with my car, what does that mean?
You trust me to do what is best with your vehicle.
I'm trusting you to take care of it. Trusting you to keep it clean. I'm trusting you to use it to make sure that the battery doesn't die down, that everything mechanically stays where it needs to be. I'm trusting you fully and completely with my car. Now, certainly that's an illustration to be used to kind of help us get a picture at least of what's going on. But what Paul says he was trusted with, what Silvanus and Timothy had been trusted with, because they had been approved of God, is that they were trusted with the good news of Christ Jesus. That's something that all who are going to be Christians need to recognize and understand that certainly the gospel is not our own. The gospel is coming from the source of God. The gospel is not of men, but it's for men. It's good news that has been given to us by God, that God trusts us enough that we can teach it, that we can proclaim it to others. Now, you think about the amount of care that you would put in, David, if I, again, were entrusting my car to you. How much more care and concern then should we give when it's God himself who is entrusting us with the gospel?
Completely on a different scale, but much more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in doing that, well, we're going to recognize and understand once again, as Paul points out, there's a purpose in this. The purpose in the gospel is not to please men. That's not why Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were doing what they were doing. But in preaching and teaching the gospel, again, there's that approval process that needs to take place. And it's not an approval of men, but it's an approval from God. From God, who Paul says that tests our hearts. You know, God is aware of our thoughts. God is aware of the secret things that we do that we think nobody else knows about. God tests our heart. And when God tests our heart, is he going to find us approved before him?
Jeremiah 11 and verse 20 says, "But O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart."
Absolutely. And that's something that ought to make us kind of stop and think for a second. You know, if I'm a Christian, God has entrusted me with a certain responsibility. I think about the Great Commission that we're given in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. After Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," well, Jesus then gives a specific command to go, to teach, to baptize, and then to continue teaching. And sometimes maybe we might look at that and say, well, Jesus was only talking to the apostles. He was only talking to those specific disciples that were there with him. But when we look at that Great Commission, the very last part of that is to teach those who are basically obeying that gospel as well, teaching them all things that I have commanded you. Well, that includes that Great Commission. That just as the apostles were to go to teach, to baptize, and to continue teaching, we have that same responsibility. And we have been entrusted with that same gospel that Paul taught to those in Thessalonica. We need to make sure that we are preaching and teaching it in a proper manner, in a way that's pleasing to God, knowing that he has entrusted us with that great responsibility. Did you have something you were going to add there?
Not at this moment, no.
You had that look in your eye that it was like you were about to add something on. Well, that's all right. We'll keep moving then into verses 5 and 6. We're again thinking about the thought that the work they did was pure. We find verses 5 and 6 that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy did not abuse their ministry.
No.
They didn't take advantage of the Thessalonians. In fact, Paul says, verse 5, "Neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." They did the work for the right reasons. They didn't try to elevate themselves through high speech. Again, neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know. Well, they knew it because they heard what was being taught. I don't know about the experiences you've had, David, but at least in my experience, sometimes it seems to be the case that when somebody doesn't really want to be questioned about what it is they're saying or teaching, at times they'll try and elevate their vocabulary. They'll start using some bigger words. They'll start to say things to try and come across as being highly intelligent. Because, well, if I can put up this front, that I have this big vocabulary. I have this great understanding, and I have this intelligence about me. Well, who is the person in the pew to question me?
You know, the old adage, the truth never mind being questioned.
Absolutely. And that's something that we need to recognize and remember, that in preaching and in teaching the Word of God, there's nothing wrong with being ourselves. There's nothing wrong with using the vocabulary that we have. But then at the same time, we need to make sure that we're not teaching it in such a way that we're over-exaggerating things. That we're not teaching it in such a way that we make it where it's not easy to understand, or it's not easy to obey. We need to make sure we're teaching it in the best possible manner, that it's understandable to all and it's accessible to all. And so Paul again said we didn't use those flattering words. And more than that, they didn't teach and show the ministry there as a cloak for covetousness. They weren't trying to gain anything out of the situation. You know, we think about the idea of a cloak. A cloak is something that's meant to hide. It's meant to conceal. In fact, every other instance that that word for cloak is translated in our New Testaments, it's almost always translated as either a pretext or an excuse. Yes. And so what Paul is saying is that they weren't teaching the gospel as an excuse to get something in return. Of course, oftentimes when we talk about covetousness, we're talking about the idea of greed, of money, of wanting what it is that others have that we do not have. In fact, the New American Standard, the 1995 translation, it says concerning verse 5, "For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed." And the important part is the very last part of this verse. Because even if the Thessalonians themselves didn't recognize it, Paul knew who did. Paul knew his conscience was clean, because David, Amen. Who lives it as a witness, God himself. David, if you could, go back up into chapter 1 and verse 3.
"Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father."
Listeners, if you've been with us for the duration of our study in Thessalonians up to this point, you'll recall with 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 what we talked about. The fact that even if nobody else sees, even if nobody else recognizes, and even now when we move into chapter 2, even if nobody else understands what our actual motive in teaching is, God does. Now that can be a great thing, or that can be a scary thing. It can be great if we're teaching with pure motives like Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, but if we're teaching in such a way that we're trying to have that cloak of covetousness, that we have some other motive in mind, some other reason for preaching or teaching the gospel, what's the implication there, David?
There's nothing that can be hidden.
God knows.
Hebrews 4:13, I believe it's the King James Version, that says everything is naked and exposed before God's eyes. And even in Luke 8 and verse 17, depending on the translation, it basically says if there is something secret, if there's something hidden, it will be revealed.
It's going to be exposed in the last day. You think about 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, where we deal with the judgment scene there, and how every secret thing, whether good or evil, Amen. Is going to be brought out at that time. And that includes what our motive is. Nobody else might know. But our God and Father in heaven knows. So we need to make sure that we are living the life that we should, that we have the right motives that we should. And so then moving into verse 6, Paul also emphasizes the fact that as they taught the gospel, they did not try and elevate themselves through their status. He said, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. They weren't trying to be lifted up in the public's eye. They weren't seeking to please men, but they were seeking to please God. Again, going back to the verse you referenced earlier, David, in Galatians 1 and verse 10, that's what we as Christians are striving to do. We're striving to please our God. We're not striving to please men. And that can cause problems along the way. And Paul says here that this is something that they easily could have elevated themselves. Something he said they could have done. He said, you know, we didn't do these things, even when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. Well, this is a verse that's an interesting one for us to look at and think about. Because certainly we understand the type of authority that apostles had, the inspiration they had, and things such as that. But we need to remember who we're talking about here. That we're talking about Paul, who we understand was an apostle of Christ Jesus, but we're also talking about who else? Silvanus and Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, does this mean that they were apostles in the same respect as Paul?
They were approved by God.
They certainly were approved by God, and it's important for us to understand what that word apostle means. An apostle is simply one who is sent out. It is one who, again, is entrusted by God, one who is sent with a specific purpose, a specific message, and that message is the gospel of Christ Jesus. And so when we look at it in that regard, we as well are those who are sent out with a specific purpose and a specific message, and we don't need to abuse the work that we have been given. We do not need to abuse the work with which we have been entrusted. And so oftentimes, however, people will fail to follow this example. People will try and, again, take titles and elevate themselves, try to make demands based on the position that they hold or different things such as that. We need to make sure that we do not abuse the ministries that we have been given. And so kind of then wrapping, go ahead.
No, just amen. I have to agree with you so much on that part. We have a situation in our area where, unfortunately, we have someone abusing the pulpit, abusing God's message.
And we have to be careful. And so then when we look at these verses we've covered, these first six verses out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think that there's a valuable lesson that we can learn as it relates to not abusing the ministry that we have been given, that we have been entrusted by God. And so, David, just think with me for a second here. In looking at these verses we've considered, let me know if I've missed something here, but if I'm looking at it correctly, we can keep from abusing the ministry we've been given if, number one, we will keep our motives in check. Number two, we will labor with the goal of pleasing God and not men. Number three, if we will examine ourselves to ensure that we don't have any sort of a cloak about us, that we don't have any ulterior motives for the work at hand. And number four, if we will keep in mind who it is that has entrusted us with this ministry in the first place.
Amen.
And so if we will do
4-point sermon right there.
Absolutely. Feel free to take that and run with it. But you know, we have to be careful because, again, it is an easy thing to try and abuse the pulpit and preach what we want to preach and have done what we want to be done. But we need to remember why it is we do what we do. We need to become more like Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy and seek to please God and not men and simply just preach the gospel truth. Well, That starts to bring us to a close for our program today. It's been a little bit since we've been on here. And David, I understand the surprised look in your face there because
time flies when you're having fun.
It really does. And again, David, I really appreciate you for coming on to the program with us this morning. And Lord willing, we'll be able to get you back on here at some point soon.
Oh, yes. I appreciate and I'm honored to be considered. Thank you so much.
And hopefully next time we have you on, we'll be able to get those technical difficulties worked out before we start the program. But that's the fun part of technology.
Oh, yes.
And certainly you working so closely with TGRN and always checking the programs that are coming in and trying to make sure the audio is where it needs to be. You perhaps more than anyone understand the headache that technology can be at times. And so
definitely,
I certainly appreciate the good work you do and continue praying for you and the work there in Cowan. And again, always thankful for the gospelradionetwork.org. For all of our listeners this morning, I'm thankful you have tuned in to be with us, that you taken a moment out of your day to sit down and to open up God's word and study from it with us. And if you have any questions at all, anything that you would like to add to the conversation, don't hesitate to reach out. David here, he's always checking that email. And David, remind us what that email is again.
Yeah, you can go ahead and send your emails to office@tgrn.org.
And again, any questions that you might have there, David is quick to make sure and respond to those. And if it's anything specific to our program, he can also pass that along to myself, and I'll do what I can to assist you in that. But we are so thankful for you, and we pray that you will be able to have a great day, that you'll continue in God's word, and just make sure you continue learning, continue growing, and keep on listening to the gospelradionetwork.org.